We started a new series last week called Spring Forward. Now, it was a little warmer then, and so I may be a bit ahead of schedule, but the reason is because we're going to end the series next Sunday, which is Spring Forward Sunday. So I keep reminding you guys for a couple reasons, because we're excited that spring is coming. It's awesome. But also that you guys are on time next week. And so you can still come in at 11:30 next week, but it'd be a lot better if you got your clock set right and showed up on time. If you missed last week or you want to re-listen to it, as always, our sermons are put up online on our website, picktownfc.com. You can also get a cool little app called Podbean, and our podcasts show up there, and you can subscribe there and have it show up week in, week out, and listen to me as much as you want and for your listening pleasure. And anyways, I want to open right away with our foundation scripture. We're in a little book of the Bible called Haggai. And it's at the very end of the Old Testament. It's a lot easier sometimes to go to Matthew in the New Testament and just go back probably about 10 pages. And I want to give you some background to this scripture again. It's at about 500 years before Christ. It's at the time of the Persian Empire. So the Persians are ruling basically the known world, which includes the land of Israel and the people of Israel. They did things a little bit differently than the Babylonians. They allowed the people to go back to their homelands because they figured happy people would be happy taxpayers. And so that was their program. And so the people had been allowed to return home. The problem was is that their home had been destroyed when they had been kicked out of it by the Babylonians. Every house demolished. The temple was razed, as in R-A-Z-E-D. It was demolished. And so they went back to rubble, but they had their homeland, and they'd been back. And they were allowed to rebuild the temple. They were allowed to rebuild their homes. They were allowed to basically function as they knew it without having a king of their own. They were going to be still under the Persians. We found out last week that they had been back already 16 years. They've been working hard to get reestablished in the area, but the temple had not had much progress seen on it. Let's go to Haggai chapter 1, verse 1. I'll read it to you. It says, "On August 29th of the second year of King Darius's reign, the Lord gave a message through the prophet Haggai to the governor of Judah and to the high priest. This is what the Lord says. The people are saying the time has not yet come to rebuild the house of the Lord. Then the Lord sent this message through the prophet Haggai. Why are you living in luxurious houses while my house lies in ruins? This is what the Lord says. Look at what's happening to you. You have planted much, but you harvest little. You eat, but you are not satisfied. You drink, but you are still thirsty. You put on clothes, but you cannot keep warm. Your wages disappear as though you were putting them in pockets filled with holes." And the people said, amen, right? I got holes in my pockets. I mean, Andrew paid for a shirt with holes in it. My pockets just somehow have holes in them. The money goes in and I don't see it any longer. God is speaking through the prophet Haggai and he is describing the situation. So I think there's a bit of encouragement right there. God knows your situation. He is fully up to speed on it. So when we pray to him, it's not really like an informant, like, God, this is going on in my life. He's aware. It's just we need to talk to him about what's going on into our life. And so he goes through the prophet Haggai, and he says, tell the people that I know what's going on. The first thing he says is the people say, he's basically saying you-ins to the people. He said, you guys are telling right now that it's not time to build the temple. But then God says, I'm saying, why are you building your own houses and my house lies in ruins? So God said, this is what you guys are saying. This is what I have to say about it. So we need to hear what God wants to say about it. God doesn't hold back. We need to know that about him. He's full of love, so much love that he's not going to hold back on what's wrong inside of us. But he lovingly goes after the junk in our life. He really does. He's very aware of how the people feel. He's not calling them a bunch of lazy jerks, but he is challenging them to make room for better. And that's the subtitle of our series. So spring forward, make room for better. He is using a prophet to let them know that their priorities are not in line with his, and that this is why true satisfaction and peace are always out of their reach. God does want to be properly honored in our lives, and he deserves it. But get this, he also wants us to have his peace and true satisfaction, and we don't deserve it. So he is asking for the honor that's due him, but he's also saying, I want to bless you. You don't deserve it, but I want to. Like a good father, he is asking for the honor he deserves, and he wants to take care of us. God wants to take care of me, and he wants to take care of you. That in itself blows my mind. That the person, the creator of everything, wants to put some of his attention right here. He could have left us to our own demise, but through prophet after prophet, voice after voice, including his own son, Jesus, who says it this way in Matthew 6:33, seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. Wow. Seek God first, honor him first, live righteously, and he will take care of us. It says everything we need. And we sometimes confuse that with having all of the things we want. But just as a dad, I not only make sure that my kids have what their needs are, but I really like to give them some things they want too. Now, I like some of the same toys they like, so it's a little selfishly motivated that, you know, the kids had to have a PS4 for Christmas. You know, whoa, you know, that hurt my feelings because I like the PS4. But seriously, I don't just meet my kids' needs and tell them that's it. Now, if that's all I could do, I wouldn't apologize for it. But what's my desire? I love to bless them, you know? I really do. But any time they're not living in a way that honors Danielle and I shut it down. I'll take them down to Chinatown. I will end their little existences. I will take them back to their necessities at a moment's notice. And I've told them before, I owe you a roof over your head, and I owe you enough food to eat, and enough clothes to cover your little bodies. Everything else is at my discretion. Isn't that wonderful? I've taken it all away. I have. But what would I rather do? I didn't buy it for him to take it away. Of course not. I want him to enjoy the blessings. God has consistently called people to make room for better by making room for him. This series is challenging us to spring forward in three key areas of our lives: our schedule, our finances, and our relationships. And if you've been around for over 24 hours, you know that all three of those are intertwined. What if this spring we didn't just do a little cleaning and organizing? I'm going to overhaul my garage organization system. I've got my plans for that. We're going to try to reorganize some things. But what if this spring we didn't just clean up some of the same messes? What if this spring we didn't just move our clocks forward, but we actually moved forward in some key areas of our lives? We all work so hard. Wouldn't it be nice to see progress? We have to make room for better. I asked you this last week. Do you think the people that God is speaking to want the temple rebuilt? They're not psychos and savages. They love God. They want the temple built. Yes, we would if we could. God tells them, you are trying to take care of you instead of honoring me first and trusting me to take care of you. And then like a good dad, he says, look at what's happening to you. Look at what you're doing to yourself. God's asking them, do you want off the treadmill? Do you want to see different results? Are you ready to follow me and honor me? Are you ready to make room for better? Are you ready to make room for me? It goes on in verse 8, and God says through the prophet, he says, now go up into the hills, bring down timber, and rebuild my house. Then I will take pleasure in it and be honored, says the Lord. It goes on further to say in verse 14 that they began to work on the house of their God. So the people made room for God, and it says that God returned his blessing to all the other stuff that they were doing. So how do we spring forward specifically in the areas of our time, our finances, and our relationships? In each of those areas, we have to make room for better. In each of those areas, we have to honor God first. I'm going to ask you the same two questions I asked last week. Because these questions determine, first of all, if you're even open to the possibility of progress. Without a yes to both of these, you can't move forward. And so the right answer is yes, okay? So I basically set it up for you. Do you want to spring forward in these areas? Are you willing to make room for better? Will I now pronounce you husband? No, I didn't. Got my vows mixed up here. Last week, we talked about how to put God first in our schedule, and we came up with the key was to schedule his time first. We talked about worship, growing, resting, and serving. Determine when you are going to do those things and schedule them in your schedule first as best as you can. You know you're going to work the next week, so it's a little arbitrary, I suppose, to think, well, I'm going to schedule God first. You know you're going to work. But I'm not talking about a religious spirit about this. I'm saying, well, I'm going to listen to, as far as growing, God, I'm going to pick some podcasts up that are going to build me up, and that's what I'm going to listen to when I'm doing this mile on the treadmill or this drive to work or whatever. God, I'm going to make sure I get my Bible in here. God, I'm going to make church more of a week-in, week-out commitment for my life. I'm going to determine what I'm going to do for God with my time, and I'm going to schedule it first. Tell God that he is your priority by making room for him in your schedule and watch him bless the rest of the time. Now, work is still hard, and you will still be an underpaid taxi cab driver for your children. But by making sure you've given time to God, you will have the peace that has always seemed just out of reach. It is the exact same way with our finances. Time and money are both limited resources that there always seems to be an endless demand on both, right? We know where the limit is, or hopefully you're adult enough to know there is a limit to your time and your money. First, I suppose that's the first step, is knowing there is a limit to both. The second thing you're going to quickly realize is that there's an endless demand of both, right? There's an endless amount of people asking for your time and even things you would like to do with your time. And Lord knows there's an endless amount of things that we could put our finances towards. And just like our schedules, we want to give to God and honor him. But we get to the end of our budget and we sound just like the people God is speaking to in Haggai. The time has not yet come to rebuild the house of the Lord. Why would those people that want to see the temple built, why would they say it's not time to rebuild it? They want it built. Why would they say that it's not time to rebuild it? They don't think they can right then. So because of their ability or their lack of ability, they're determining by that it's not time to build it. But I think it's interesting that the desire of their heart is that it should be built. And that's always, just so you know, that's usually a stronger indicator of what God wants you to do than just what your physical resources tell you is possible. It, almost always. I want to give, and I will soon, but I can't right now. I've said that before, and I've heard other people said that before. Now, this area in particular has hurt so many people as far as connected to the church. I'm aware of that. That's one of the reasons why we do the giving station instead of passing a plate. Because of bad teaching and misunderstanding, a combination of both, many people outside the church that we are trying to reach have connected the church with just wanting money or abusing money, which has happened, both cases have happened way too many times. It is my prayer that every dollar given to God through the family church would only be given out of obedience, joy, and trust, and never out of guilt, manipulation, or pressure. That's one of the main reasons why we do that box. Because there's something about a plate coming down where somebody says, oh, I better put my dollar in. That's not what we want. That's not what God wants. And so this, you're going to hear God's heart for his priority on giving in this message, but that's not how he wants you to give. And so just so you know that that's, I take this subject very seriously, and we don't talk about it a lot, not because it's not important, but out of our desire to reach people, the last thing I want them to think of is that this church cares more about what's in their wallet than what's in their heart. You guys with me on that? Is that okay? Okay. It is so important that we hear the voice and the heart of a father who cares about us when we are taught on this subject. God speaks through the prophet Haggai to his people. He is correcting them. He is correcting them. God will correct us. He's saying to them, you need to build my house first. He said that. But if we read this out of context, and that's the only part we take away from this scripture, what does our picture of God look like?
You need to build my house first.
Right? I mean, you can almost add the voice, you know? You can picture,
you need to build my house first.
You see somebody angry instead of somebody loving that's trying to, why on earth would I want my kids to have the right priorities? For my benefit or for theirs? Now, truthfully, it's going to help me if they're on track. But I'm responsible to the Lord for them coming out as functioning adults that are a blessing to other people in their lives. It's for their benefit. So just like Bob Ross, we need to add some detail to our picture of God. So can we add some happy little trees to our image of God here today? I love Bob Ross. God's people have been given back their land to live in. They are redefining their existence as a nation. They have just spent hundreds of years in captivity. They are rewriting who they are as a country at this point in history. The temple was the focal point of their nation from their time in the desert after leaving Egypt up until the time it was destroyed by the Babylonians. In the desert, God gave Moses specific instructions to basically build a very elaborate tent. And it was a portable structure called the tabernacle. It was made with the finest materials available, and it was in the center of the entire camp of Israel every time they moved through the desert. And even when they would travel from place to place, half the tribes would go in front of the tribe of Levi, which were the priests that took care of the temple, and then half of the nation of Israel took up the rear. So even when they marched and crawled through the desert, basically moving from town to town, what stayed in the middle of their entire nation? The temple. Then they continued its use in Jerusalem. They actually used the portable tent even after they took over the promised land and in the city of Jerusalem. King David wanted to build it. God said, your son's going to build it instead. Another message for another day. But then Solomon got turned loose. Basically, his father, King David, just gave him his entire treasury and then asked the rest of the nation to pour out their best and turned King Solomon loose to build the temple. And at that point in history, it was the most elaborate, grandest structure on the planet built by man. And when you read the description of it, it's beyond detailed and exhausting to read. but almost everything was imported materials and then plated with gold. I mean, almost everything. And just like in the desert, it was in the center of their holiest city, in the center of what they determined to be their nation. The center of their entire world was Jerusalem, and the center of Jerusalem was the temple. And if you wonder why that little bit of earth is still fought over to the death today, it's because they still believe that about that little piece of earth where the temple was. So God is not just some overbearing father demanding the respect that is due him. He is being a good dad when he says to his people in Haggai and to you and me today, your priorities are out of line, and that is why financial peace keeps staying just out of reach. You listen to those opening verses. Why you work so hard, and the money just feels like it pours out of your pockets. You drink, but you're still thirsty. You eat, and you're still hungry. That is why your wages disappear, as though you were putting them in pockets filled with holes. Like every other commandment given in the Bible, it is always for our benefit. Just like my rules for my kids, the rules are always for their good, never for their harm. Now, sometimes the early bedtime is really just so I can have some peace and quiet, you know, so I might, you know, over, you know, oh, it's really so you need to get the rest you need. Well, that might be not my primary reason there. But in general, everything I ask of my kids and hold them accountable to is for their good, right? Listen to this verse. This verse just changed my view and just blew my mind on this topic. Leviticus 11:45 says this, "For I, the Lord, am the one who brought you up from the land of Egypt, that I might be your God. Therefore, you must be holy, because I am holy." Did you catch that? I saved you so that I might be your God. Might be? Jesus went to the cross for a might be. God made grace available to us. He chose to save us before we signed anything. Who does that? It says, "I saved you and took you up out of Egypt so that I might be your God." He wants to be our God. He wants us to trust him to meet our needs, but he has given us the choice. He is telling us today, "I want your soul to be at peace, but you get to choose whether I'm your God or not." It's a beautiful, scary thing, right? Because I don't always choose right. Well, if God wants me to have peace so badly, why can't God just give me peace? If God wants to bless me so badly, why can't he just bless my mess? Well, do you really want the answer to that? The verse we just read also says you must be holy because I am holy. Oh, you're going to like this. Holiness will always be a choice for you and me. Now, holiness is a fancy church word that means set apart for God. Every time we make room for better, every time we make room for God, we are setting another piece of our life apart for God. We get to make our lives holy. This is crazy to me. We are the ones that choose holiness for our lives. And what happens is as we come to faith, we start to make decisions in certain areas. Well, God, I know you're calling me out of this. And so I'm going to walk away from that. I'm going to choose to be holy from addiction. I'm going to choose to be holy from anger. I'm going to choose to be holy from sometimes those bigger evil things or whatever are easier to see. But what our walk really looks like long term is where step by step God says, I want you to choose my way in this part of your life. I want you to choose my way with how you make your money, save your money, spend your money. I don't want to. Okay. I'll be here for whenever you choose to make your money holy. Isn't this crazy? God, on the other hand, is holy. It is a permanent part of his character. Just as sin always takes us away from God's blessing, holiness always takes us back towards God and his blessings. I'll use the analogy of my house again. I will shut down every happy part of my children's lives if they get out of line with me and Danielle. No problem. But as they get back in line, my kids, I got great kids. But they've all needed stuff to be taken away. They've all needed to be disciplined. But just as they fall into line, just as they set themselves apart for how I expect them to, all of a sudden they come closer to me. You remember that feeling, us adults, that when you've chosen to do something outside of your parents' will and how that feels gross. The relationship feels gross. But when you're in line, you're not only just close to the person, and it's not like I just hold, you know, blessings and rewards over my kids. I'll pay for grades, though. You know, that's just good sense. But when the kids are in line, my heart, it opens the channel, right? God isn't going to bless our unholy way of doing things. He can't. He's determined that he can't. Any limitation God has is because he says, I'm holy. This is it. That's a good thing, because we get to know who God is every time, every day. We look to God, he is going to be the same. He's not going to shift on something. He's not going to move around and be some moving target for you. But the problem is, he said, this is who I am. This is where the bar is set for me for all of eternity. But then he says, I want to help you get there. He needs us to choose holiness in every area, including our finances, so that they will be blessed. Now, just like with our time, the key is to give to God first. It's just the way it is. I can't teach it any different. The Bible calls this the tithe, and it comes from the Hebrew word for one-tenth. So if you've heard of 10%, that's where it comes from. The word used in the Old Testament is tithe, and that's just what it means. But it is also associated with the term first fruits. And so these weren't people that were necessarily paid in some form of cash like you and me today. Now, most societies quickly go to exchanging goods for some form of currency, and that's what's exchanged. Usually we can put a dollar amount on just about everything, every way that we earn or trade. And all throughout the Bible, what's consistent is that the first fruits would be given to God. We make room for better every time we put God first. Dave Ramsey is one of my heroes because he has been used by God to help more people get out of debt than any other system or resource. Can't argue with it. But guess what? At the first line of all of his forms for you to build your budget, guess what the first line is on all of his forms? The tithe. Why? Because he knows that true financial peace ultimately can only come from trusting God. This is why throughout the Bible, he never gets too impressed by the large gift. In fact, the one time where Jesus just is blown away by someone's generosity, it says was by a widow putting a couple coins in the treasury at the temple. God's not impressed with the dollar amount. It'd be silly for him to be. He doesn't work in our currency to begin with, but he creates everything we exchange for currency. So it's meaningless to him. But what he's always looking at is, where is he valued in our hearts? We need to determine what we are going to give and give it first. Because just like our time, it's too easy to get to the end of the day and be like, that's it. It's too easy to get to the end of our money and be like, that's it. Even as we're looking at adding online giving and the ability to use, you know, that kind of thing. And I would just cringe and just, I would be sick if somebody ever put a dollar on a credit card to give to our church. No. But even as we open up that ability, you know, God doesn't want us to, he wants us to be healthy. And so holiness, when we choose to set stuff apart, is our pathway to his health for our lives. It's just the way it is. And being healthy in our finances. The church wants to help people in this area. We're going to be doing Financial Peace University again in the future. That's a class designed by Dave Ramsey. If you don't know who he is, you got to check him out. I'm already down to two today. I've given one away because God is already speaking to people in this group about this very topic. If you are serious about making room for better in this area of your life, I've got two more copies that the church wants to give to you today. You only need one of them. And, you know, make your wife read one, you'll read one, or whatever. But if you want to move forward in this, the church needs to help people in this area. It's one of the most significant areas people are locked up. In this day and age, in our culture, you've got things like pornography, you've got materialism, you've got which rolls right in with finances. These are major things crippling our entire culture, crippling the church, and God, he came to set people free, right? Jesus said, I didn't come to spend time with the healthy. I came time to spend time with the sick and to heal them. And so if you want one of those, come see me after church today. Can we close this morning? I love this verse, this section of verses from Haggai, because I really have no sense in reading it of getting any sense that the people there are disobeying out of malice, out of contempt, out of just a choice of rebellion, out of just anything that would just make them just seem like jerky people. And that means a lot to me today, because any time I've pulled back from trusting God in this area, it's always been the same for me. I've never chosen on purpose to rebel against God or that his ideas are stupid. I've always come to a place when I've come short in this area of, God, I can't do it. I want to give to you, but I can't. And the first thing that I would just pray that you would hear in this message is the voice of a loving Father. He loves us. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. And my kids are just now starting to get to the age where they're going to go out on their own. And as a dad, I've got to watch them. I'm going to watch them make some mistakes. And it's going to hurt me. But what I can't do is to keep treating them like babies. I've got to let them go. I've got to train them. I've got to turn them loose. And then I get to help as best as I can in this next stage. So God is looking at you today with the same heart, even greater. He says, if we know how to love our kids, how much greater can the Father in heaven love us? He is looking at you and he loves you. And it hurts him to see you trip over the same rock over and over again. It hurts him because he loves you. He is not demanding respect just because he deserves it. He is teaching us to honor him because he knows the blessings that that leads us to. So my first prayer is that you would hear the heart of a father who loves you. But he is correcting us, and he is challenging us to build his house first and to watch him supply all of our needs. My hand's up on this one, folks. I am still growing in this area. I'm still being challenged. Danielle and I tithe, but we are still figuring out God's best in this area, I promise you. If you are ready to spring forward in this area, if you are ready to make room for better, if you are ready to choose holiness for your finances, I want to agree with you in prayer this morning. If that's you, would you just raise your hand up where you're at right now? I see those hands. I see those hands. God wants to give you freedom, and he's provided a path. Father God, I thank you for this word. God, I thank you that it's a holy word because you're a holy God. And God, I thank you that you would call us to choose holiness, not because you're some cruel, just egomaniac, God, but that you love us so much. You're a good father. You want us to have your very best. And your very best is holiness. And so, God, every time we choose it for our lives, every time we make room for better, we're making room for you. We're choosing holiness. Father God, I thank you for the sacred moment. Father God, these are areas that we feel ashamed in. Father God, that we feel embarrassed in, that we feel like failures in. And so, Father God, I speak your healing. God, I speak your encouragement. I speak your truth. I speak your grace. I speak your wisdom. I speak your hope. Father God, that this would be an area that we would move forward in by doing it your way. And God, I thank you. Just as we spoke about your covenant earlier, you will not fail on your end. Never have, never will. We thank you, Jesus. If you've never trusted Jesus with your heart, oh my goodness, you better start there. If today is your day to start, to cross the line of faith, to trust Jesus to lead you, to choose holiness for your very heart, then I want to pray with you. If that's you this morning, would you raise your hand? I want to agree with you. I see that hand. I see that hand. God, we thank you that every time we pray a prayer like this, we are taking a step towards heaven and we're taking a step away from hell in our hearts, God. I thank you that you came to set us free, you came to heal us, and you came to make us whole. And so, Father God, I thank you for the lives that are being changed by the decisions this morning, and we will give you all the glory. God, we thank you for how good you are. We thank you that you lovingly lead us in challenging areas. And Father God, I thank you that we would, as a church, make room for better by making room for you this spring. It's in Jesus' name we pray, amen. Let's stand and worship.